I'll give it my utmost attention. I'll buy you tall, tall trees and all the waters and the seas. I'm a fool, fool, fool for you. Well, I'm a fool, oh, for you. It may take a while, but I'll prove it's true. Well, if it's loving you want, well, I've got it. If it's money you want, then I'll get it. I'll buy you tall, tall trees and all the waters and the seas. I'm a fool, fool, fool for you. Across the ocean, I'll travel anywhere you take a notion. I'll buy you tall, tall trees and all the waters and the seas. I'm a fool, fool, fool for you. And if you wanna own a great big man.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Chief Justice John Roberts pushing back against President Trump's calls for a federal judge to be impeached after halting deportation flights under the Alien Enemies Act. Roberts says impeachment is inappropriate. Meantime, the Justice Department continuing to stonewall the federal judge.
In a written response to Judge James Boasberg, the Justice Department says the administration should not be required to answer his questions, such as how many more alleged gang members might be subject to removal under the Alien Enemies Act. The government calls that sensitive information, bearing on national security and foreign relations. The government's filing says if the judge does order the Justice Department to provide the information, he should only receive it privately in his chambers.
The White House has not released details of the call between President Trump and Russia's leader, the U.S. working to finalize a ceasefire deal between Russia and Ukraine, the Kremlin calling it a frank discussion. Another round of severe storms, including blizzard alerts, issued from Nevada to the Midwest. This is ABC News. Fire danger alerts stretch from the southeast to the Midwest.
Over 20 million Americans across nine states from Arizona to Missouri are under red flag fire warnings because of severe wind and incredibly dry conditions. Roswell, New Mexico is dealing with 50 mile per hour wind, 36 mile per hour wind in St. Louis. The fire chief in Stillwater, Oklahoma, says the fires that have burned there have been unimaginable.
Seeing my city on fire and having my neighbors and my friends' homes burn in front of me and my firefighters has been the biggest challenge of my life.
Today, the fire risk is the highest in Oklahoma and Texas. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore headed back to Earth, taking off from the International Space Station on a SpaceX mission last night. Their eight-day mission last year on the troubled Boeing Starliner turned into more than 8 months. They're expected to splash down tonight off Florida's coast. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. The state Senate votes today on legislation overhauling K-12 educational testing. State Senator John Jagler says changes recently implemented by the Department of Public Instruction have led to questionable results.
That magically just happened, or did we have the books been cooked? And I think it's pretty clear what happened.
The bill, which passed in the Assembly last month, reverts testing standards to what they were in 2019-2020, aligns grades 3 through 8 with national standards, and restores high school testing standards to levels set in 2021-2022. UW-Madison is one of 45 universities under investigation by the U.S. Department of Education.
A Friday memo from the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights says UW-Madison is being investigated for its ties to a group called the PhD Project, a nonprofit that helps students from underrepresented groups obtain degrees in business. In the memo, U.S. Secretary of Education Linda McMahon says students must be assessed according to merit and accomplishment, not prejudged by the color of their skin. A spokesperson said Monday that the UW hasn't been formally notified of a complaint related to the PhD project, but will cooperate with any investigation. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Elon Musk wants to close a Wisconsin branch of the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Musk's Department of Government Efficiency announced plans earlier this month to close federal offices across the country. That now includes the BIA office in Ashland. Fox 11 Green Bay reports the Ashland lease is set to be terminated at the end of August. The office employs 40 people working with Wisconsin's 11 federally recognized tribes on issues including real estate management and law enforcement support. Tribal leaders say the proposed closure creates more uncertainty for people seeking to communicate with BIA and could force them to travel farther to receive services. The Ashland office is one of 200 BIA locations nationwide slated for closure. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
NTEC is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTEC grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sunshine today, but still mild with highs in the mid-50s. Rain through the morning, switches to some sleet late morning, and then to all snow by the afternoon. Some thunder is possible, and the snow could be heavy at times, with winds whipping it and blowing it around, as a good 4 to 8 inches is likely, which is why Winter Storm Watch has been issued. Call BCI Bath and Shower, 1-800-329-4115. It's 43 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand, Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Assistance are released. How much will it help buffer lower grain prices and possible fallout from tariffs? A year after some of the biggest wildfires in history hit Texas, we look at public land grazing policy and the Endangered Species Act, plus an update on how DOGE cuts are impacting agriculture today on AgriTalk.
Live from National Ag Day via Farm Journal broadcast, Woo-hoo! This is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin with a conversation with Chad Hart from Iowa State University. Then it's Caitlin Clover from NCBA. And later, Scott Vanderwall from the American Farm Bureau Federation. Directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, filling in for Chip, please welcome Michelle Rook. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, and happy National Agriculture Day. You saw me do my little woohoo when you said that. Every day is Ag Day, actually, for AgriTalk, or if you're on Ag Day U.S. Farm Report, anybody in Farm Journal, every day is Ag Day for us, isn't it?
I tend to agree, yeah, as it should be. I mean, that's our job, you know, but this is the day when and here's this. I'm just going to skip ahead to one of these news stories here. We don't need to talk about it too much, but on Ag Day here, I had written it also could be the day we get official information about $10 billion in farmer economic aid. And from what I'm hearing you say, Michelle, we do have confirmation on that $10 billion in aid.
Yes, and actually we had the confirmation prior to this. We're just supposed to get more details from USDA about how the payments will be disseminated, the sign-up process and all that. Interestingly enough, right before we went on, I got an email from USDA that says they're going to have some sort of a call about it, a virtual briefing this afternoon, and so we're supposed to basically embargo all this until 1 o'clock.
We're not even supposed to be talking about this then.
Ah, heck, it's already out. We're going to talk about it.
I think we already did.
Yeah, we already did.
You have an illustrious list of guests for us today on National Ag Day. Tell us about it.
Well, we're going to round out the program with Scott Vanderwall, American Farm Bureau Federation Vice President, of course, talking about National Ag Day and the importance of agriculture, but also how the DOGE cuts have been impacting agriculture, a little bit about ag labor, which is still top of mind with them. We're going to talk about Endangered Species Act with Caitlin Glover from the Public Lands Council, and as well how grazing land management and policy may have been a preventative for last year's big wildfires in Texas, as we have more that are probably going to be raging here in the next few days here with those red flag warnings down there. And we kick off with Chad Hart from Iowa State University. We'll talk a little more about those disaster payments, whether they're going to actually help farmers here with this economic climate, and kind of what the balance sheets look like for corn and soybeans as we go into the planting season. Oh, wow. And we might talk about tariffs, too.
Wow. Wow. Big day. Big day.
Okay. That's my wad.
Right on. Well, let me get to the news, and then we'll start chipping away. The National Weather Service is looking for strong winds and dry conditions. As you said, Michelle, it will bring extremely critical fire weather. They're calling it level 3 of 3 fire weather risk today, and a possible wildfire outbreak across portions of southeastern New Mexico into northwest Texas, the Texas Panhandle, and western Oklahoma. Widespread heavy snow with possible blizzard conditions is forecast tonight through Wednesday from the central Rockies and plains into the upper Midwest states. It looks like there's another blizzard going to blow through, eh, Michelle?
I know, it's really weird because it was like 80 degrees in Omaha yesterday, and they're supposed to get a blizzard here by tomorrow or the next day.
Yep. Well, President Trump stated Chinese leader Xi Jinping will visit Washington in the not-too-distant future as trade tensions escalate between those two nations. Despite the tensions, Trump has signaled openness to a new trade deal.
Yeah, he's talking about maybe June. They're talking about maybe June for that meeting. So I don't know if that's soon or not.
But. Well, and, you know, one wonders, okay, so a June meeting, let's set the date. In the meantime, do we get any relief from uncertainty at all until they meet? I would dare say probably not.
I don't know. They want to strike a trade deal, but I'm skeptical. So
Yeah. Well, farm state lawmakers are urging the Trump administration to confront Canada over its dairy trade policies. Lawmakers and dairy industry groups argue that Canada is failing to meet its USMCA commitments, particularly on dairy market access and export limits.
Yeah, they've really snubbed us on that.
Indeed. The Fertilizer Institute has lauded President Trump for signing an executive order that ensures Canadian and Mexican imports of fertilizers meeting USMCA preference status will be subject to no duty while this round of tariffs remains in effect.
Yeah, that's important.
For sure. Well, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association Chief Counsel Mary Thomas Hart is urging cattle producers to help secure an EPA regulation to end decades of WOTUS uncertainty across the finish line. She had this to say.
In addition to taking comment for the next 30 days, EPA is going to host a series of listening sessions. So in that time, my ask to cattle producers across the country is to engage.
Now, the NCBA, Michelle, as you probably know, had been involved in that Supreme Court Sackett case, which said that a wetland must have continuous service connection to a U.S. water before the EPA can require a permit. Now Hart says it's up to EPA to finally end decades of uncertainty. We'd love uncertainty. Help us define a navigable water, and I think we'd be a whole lot happier. Michelle, I'm going to cut it short there.
Yeah, important topic, though, we'll talk a little bit more about as we go along. Karen Boner, brand leader of Farm Journal's Milk, joins us this morning. And good morning, Karen. We want to bring you in here to talk this morning.
Good morning, Michelle.
Hey, let's talk about the continuing hot beef on dairy market and especially how it's driving some of these bovine semen sales.
Yeah, well, we just saw the report from the National Association of Animal Breeders, which illustrated an increased growth in 2024, both for the dairy and beef semen sectors, Michelle. And what they're saying is that kind of growth can continue as new records could be on the horizon. So both grew about 4%, but beef on beef sales saw an increase of more than 400,000 units. And really, this was promising because it's reversing a decreasing trend of the past 2 years. Dairy unit increased by 5% with a noticeable trend on gender select semen. As we know, those dairy producers want, if it's going to be a dairy calf, they want it to be a female. beef semen exports rose significantly. And what that trend is, they're saying, hey, maybe we need to think about doing the beef on dairy strategy that the U.S. dairy industry has been so accustomed to and had so much success with. So we'll see if that becomes a global trend. But Michelle, really, with all this being said, I think we're at, producers are at a crossroad, and they're becoming more strategic than ever before with semen usage and making data-based decisions if their cows are getting bred to sex semen or beef, and especially if they're planning to grow their herd. As you know, the cost of replacements is super high, and why we do want to capitalize on super hot beef on dairy prices, ultimately they need to think about their long-term plan and what kind of calf needs to hit the ground.
But high cattle prices certainly are driving part of this as well.
Absolutely. There's a lot of variables in the situation, and that high cow price is probably here to stick for some time to come.
All right. And you wrote about it. Folks can get more information where?
Over at dairyherd.com.
All right. Thanks so much. Karen Bonert, brand leader of Farm Journal's Milk. We'll have more coming up next here on AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Zinpro Isoferm. Unlock your whole herd performance at Zinpro.com/isoferm. That's Zinpro.com/ISOFERM.
Unlock whole herd performance with Zinpro Isoferm. This one-of-a-kind technology enhances rumen performance and advances efficiency by directly feeding the rumen microbes. What's the result? Decreased dry matter intake, increased energy-corrected milk, better feed efficiency, and a herd that is better equipped to navigate the stress of lactation phases and seasonal change. Learn more at www.zinpro.com/isoferm.
Experience the power of Enfinity this spring. Loveland Products' newest nitrogen management innovation is available now, with three modes of action to boost naturally occurring nitrogen in the root zone and support your crops through the season. Step into a world where nitrogen comes naturally. Take advantage of this product by visiting lovelandproducts.com/infinity or contacting your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant.
Is your nitrogen program out of tune? Get Nutrio in Tune by Wilbur Ellis. It's the breakthrough biotechnology that harnesses beneficial N-fixing bacteria to maintain a consistent nitrogen supply throughout the growing season. Compatible with all fertilizers and tank partners, it's the flexible, easy-to-use solution for pre- and post-sprays. Don't miss a beat. Visit stayntune.com or your local Wilbur Ellis location to learn more about Nutrio N-Tune.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
When I got out of...
There's no such thing as too much caring. That's why Gunderson Health System and Bellin Health have come together to form Amplify Health. The same doctors you trust, the same hospitals and clinics you count on, the same great care, all amplified by an even higher focus on empathy. Amplify Health is more than just a new name. It's a way to make personalized care more personal than ever. Amplify Health by Gunderson. A little empathy changes everything.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.56% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook in for Chip Flory this morning. National Ag Week and National Ag Day today, we're celebrating that, but also talking with Dr. Chad Hart, Iowa State University Extension Economist. Glad to have you on the program this morning, Dr. Hart.
Glad to be with you today.
All right. Well, we kind of teed it up at the beginning of the program. We're supposed to get some official information today regarding the $10 billion of economic assistance as part of the American Relief Act that was expected this morning, outlining and talking about the application process, some of these deadlines. What do we know right now so far?
Well, that's the deal. We know the total amount, $10 billion. We do know that they're going to try to tie it to basically the drop in revenues that we've seen over the past couple of years. And we also know that they're basically going to, you know, base it on planted acres from last year. And that means they're going to be able to fill out some of the form the government will before farmers need to do that. So you're going to see the form halfway filled out and then mailed to farmers to help speed up the process to get those payments out.
Okay, so this is on your 2024. This is your certified planted acres then.
This would be on certified planted, but also prevent planted. So the idea is if you were prevented from planting, watch your mailbox as well, because they will make a payment based on that as well. In this case, they're going to prorate that payment based upon the lack of planting.
Yeah, that's a good point you make, because previous programs didn't always include prevent plants. So that's kind of important. The idea here is just to make this a pretty simple and fast and transparent process, though, for producers to get that money out there as fast as we can, right?
It definitely is. If you think about it, the idea is they were seeing this as economic assistance, so they want to get that out as fast as they possibly can to help fill in some cash flow holes, especially as we go into the planting season here for 2025.
So the other $21 billion of economic or market assistance, that's still yet to come, right?
That's still yet to come, and it's tied to natural disasters. So in this case, we're thinking about the hurricanes that hit the southeast, some of the flooding and wildfires we saw out west. Heck, even the flooding in northwest Iowa from last year would qualify for that. That's going to take a little while longer to lay out and proceed into, you know, payments to farmers later this year.
So let me ask you this first $10 billion tranche of support, how important is it, or how much impact will it have when you have commodity prices or grain prices down?
It definitely helps right now. If you think about what the ag economy has been going through over the past couple of years, we have seen that drop in net farm income that has led to a softening of the overall ag economy, which has manifested itself in, for example, the layoffs we've seen through John Deere and things like that. And so definitely this does help, like I say, support that cash flow going into planting season.
Yeah, I was going to say it'll help get the crop planted. That's important in a lot of cases here. Now, USDA recently updated their net farm income projections for 2025, slightly above 2024, but it was only because of these government payments, right?
Yep. That's the deal. When you're looking at our market returns like projected for 2025, they are below what we've had the past couple of years. And so the idea is that these payments are going to help bring us back up above, provide that flash of capital right now to help keep things moving along.
Well, it is a tale of two different sectors, though, in agriculture. Livestock sector is doing, or at least cattle is doing, considerably better than what we're seeing on the grain ledger, right?
Well, I would say it's doing better in terms of revenue, but you've got to recognize that in this case, even on the cattle side, we are seeing incredibly high costs.
Sure.
So high prices don't necessarily mean high profitability.
Yeah, that's right, because replacements are certainly very, very tough to buy at an economical price. All right, so let's talk about the corn and soybean balance sheets as we go into the planting season. You are well aware of all of the 94 million acre plus projections that we're already seeing for corn acreage this year. Where are those break evens for corn for most producers?
Well, I think on the corn side, it really depends on what you've got locked up for cash rents. I know with our Iowa State production cost estimates, we were down around $4.35 a bushel here as we approach 2025, which is slightly lower than we estimated for 2024. So it is giving us some cushion there possibly for corn, and that explains some of the acreage moving towards corn and away from other crops.
Okay. So what about soybean balance sheets? Because we are seeing this shift out of soybeans into corn. And obviously you saw the crop insurance price, what the guarantee, a dollar below last year. So we know the balance sheets aren't as good for beans, are they?
No, we're not as good. In fact, even there, even with Iowa State, we did see a slight cut in our production cost. But yeah, we're still looking at prices being at least a buck under what our production cost estimates were. And so that lines up with what we're seeing with crop insurance. Right now, the economics aren't supporting soybean plantings much here in 2025. Arguably, the biggest thing driving, you know, what the land we're holding in soybeans would be agronomic rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're hearing, I've talked to some big Pioneer dealers, seed corn dealers down in Nebraska that say they can't get all the corn seed that is needed for their customers just because of this big switch. Are you hearing the same in Iowa or any other place?
I'm not hearing as much, but the idea is, yeah, we have seen a strong push towards corn. But I'll point back to, if you think back to, you know, 2023, we saw very similar acreage patterns to what we're projecting here in 2025.
All right, so profitability was part of the reason we saw the switch into more, or are going to see the switch into more corn acres. Let's talk a little bit about tariffs, because obviously the fear of tariffs, especially on soybeans, has been part of the play, hasn't it?
It's been on both. I mean, if you think about what the corn market's been through over the past two to three weeks, we saw a heavy impact from both the tariffs and the increased thoughts on acreage here, hammered down on that market for a while. So the threat of tariffs is definitely concerning crop markets across the board.
So the tariffs have been delayed on Mexico and Canada until April 2nd. Many U.S. ag products like wheat and corn are USMCA compliant. So if the tariffs do kick in, will some of those products be exempt?
That's the hope, I think, as we're looking here. And especially when we look at our export pace thus far, when we look at our sales, we're doing really well right now. Actually, corn sales are up about 25% compared to last year. Soybean sales are up around 13%. So the markets would love to continue that growth. And so the more we can delay these tariffs, or, you know, have them be exempt, you know, through something like the USMCA, definitely gives the market some reason for hope that we can continue to build this up.
Yeah. And the tariffs on Canadian fertilizer, specifically potash, the president has said, hey, we won't do 25%, only 10%. Most of that product's in place for spring though, right?
Most of that product is in place. It was nice that they recognized that potash could be a sensitive product here. And yeah, so potash got treated as an energy product as opposed to a regular product when it came to that. But yeah, luckily we do have most of that supply that we need for 2025 already in place.
Okay, the president has also said reciprocal tariffs could go into effect on all countries on April 2nd. What will that mean? Is it like mini trade deals or what?
Well, in this case, it's sort of, you know, and that's the deal. This is going to be interesting to see how the administration puts these in. With reciprocal tariffs, what we're basically looking to do is say, okay, if a country is tariffing us and it's costing, say, $10 million, that we're going to put tariffs on that country in response to roughly the same amount. Now, what's left out there that we really need to know from an agricultural perspective is what products are going to be tariffed. Are we literally going to target the same products that that other country already hits us on? And I think that's the wild card for agriculture. How big could we be in that mix when it comes to reciprocal tariffs?
Yeah, that will be very interesting. It's an approach we haven't used before, didn't use during the last trade war. So like you say, we're going to be closely watching that. Okay, so with possible tariffs and more acres of corn, did we put in the highs in February on the corn market? Because that's not normally when we top, is it?
It's not normally when we top, and I'm telling you the truth, I'm hoping not. But that said, yeah, we could see, especially if we do see these tariffs, all the ones that have been talked about being put in place. My fear is that we could have put the top in there, but otherwise, I still look for, let's call it, a seasonal bounce when we get out there in May and June. There are going to be some weather issues that pop up here, and if sales on the export side can proceed as they have been, then we're more likely to get that seasonal high when we normally do.
All right. Well, we'll watch that, and hopefully soybean prices will be supported by less acres here, just quick.
Yep, definitely the case. And so soybeans should look better 8 months from now than they do today.
All right. Always a pleasure to have you along. Iowa State University's Dr. Chad Hart. Thanks for joining us. When we come back, we're going to talk markets, and then we're going to talk a little bit about grazing policy with the Public Lands Council.
Is your nitrogen program out of tune? Get Nutrio in Tune by Wilbur Ellis. It's the breakthrough biotechnology that harnesses beneficial N-fixing bacteria to maintain a consistent nitrogen supply throughout the growing season. Compatible with all fertilizers and tank partners, it's the flexible, easy-to-use solution for pre- and post-sprays. Don't miss a beat. Visit stayntune.com or your local Wilbur Ellis location to learn more about Nutrio Entune.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Wunnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, April milk down 15 to 1701, May down 22 to 1708, June down 11 to 1712, July down 16 at 1762. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets and hogs all moving mostly lower as the markets basically have hit some of the resistance levels, and that's led to a bit of a sell-off in the livestock complex today. April live cattle down 12 cents to 204.90. March feeder cattle down 7 cents to 284.55. April hogs down $1.02 to 87.05. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets and soybeans and wheat all moving mostly lower today. Pretty much the markets are relatively range-bound. Not a lot of new bullish news to help support any of the grains today. There's also a lot of positioning ahead of the end of the quarter. And we'll see those grain stocks reports from USDA. And also we're watching April 2nd. Those tariffs to potentially go into effect. May corn down 3 to 458. New crop down 3/4 to 453 1/4. May beans down 3 to 1012 1/2. New crop down 3 1/4 to 1015 1/4. Chicago wheat, May down 3 to 565 1/2. And July down 2 1/2 to 582 1/2. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Wunnikins.
Tax season is here. Don't pay more than you have to. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
The Country Experience.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook in for Chip Flory. Joining us this morning, Caitlin Glover. She's Executive Director of the Public Lands Council and works on natural resources for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Welcome to AgriTalk, Caitlin.
Thanks so much, Michelle. Happy to be here.
Hey. Well, one thing I wanted to kind of kick off with here, it's been almost a year since the big devastating wildfires in Texas, those record number of acres were covered during those fires. And I thought it'd be a good time to talk about how important common sense grazing policy is on any lands, but especially public lands, maybe as a preventative to some of those types of catastrophic events.
So you make a really good point. And unfortunately, I feel like no matter any time in the year, no matter which year we're talking about, there's always going to be an anniversary of a big fire in the West. The fire in Texas was absolutely devastating. And we've seen fires since then in California and Idaho and Washington. And in these Western states, and even in these Midwestern states, right, where you have a lot of grazing, you have a lot of forage buildup, these grasses that dry out, especially if it's dry later in the year. Grazing really is the best tool to be able to remove that risk from the landscape, because we're looking at that green grass in the spring, and we're looking at the rain coming down is a huge asset to be able to grow those animals in those grazed acres. But that grass, if it's not grazed off, does become a liability in those later months of the year in those dry conditions. In the West, you know, we have several hundred million acres that are public land, right, that where you have a much wider space. And, you know, somewhere on the order of 145 million acres of those are grazed. Each of those animals removes thousands of pounds of fine fuels that really can ignite on a dime, right? You just need a bad lightning storm to be able to have the next big fire conditions be able to begin. And so that grazing is really important. You know, it's amazing. We just had a witness here in Washington, D.C. Last month. The Public Lands Council President Tim Canterbury, he talked about fire. And one thing that really stuck out to me was this number 45. Grazing reduces the risk of fire ignition by 45%. And that doesn't matter whether you're on a public land or private land, pasture, whatever it is. Reducing that risk is absolutely critical. So, you know, whether you're in Washington or you're in the Texas Panhandle, you're really looking at how you can apply grazing in a way that reduces that risk and allows you to protect those acres for the future.
And so Public Lands Council is really looking at a policy that respects multi-use approaches, right?
That's exactly right. So, you know, NCBA is a member of this Public Lands Council. Public Lands Council, you know, we represent the cattle and sheep producers who are grazing on these acres. But really, we're looking at that multiple use. It's sort of like the Swiss Army knife of land management in the West. And whether you're hiking or biking or hunting or having energy development, The piece that makes public lands work is making sure that they're healthy, they're open and available. And for these Western rangelands, for these grasslands, grazing is the thing that has kept them healthy over time. So, you know, we start here in Washington from a policy that grazing is really what makes all of these other land uses possible. It makes not only, you know, we have a feeder in of 64% of Western cattle spend time on federal lands grazing. So it's valuable forage, but it also is a huge protector of those landscapes in a very, very direct way.
What changes do we specifically need in grazing policy, either by Congress, Department of Interior, whoever, especially to cover public lands and grazing of those lands to strike a balance?
So that's the question that we ask ourselves every year. And really where we've seen the best traction, and I think where we have the best opportunity moving forward, is in this targeted grazing space. Private lands operators, farmers and ranchers who graze their cattle and sheep do this in a very natural way. They look at their pasture, they say, you know, we need to remove some grass from this pasture or this corner. We need to create a fire break, or we have an opportunity to use this grass in a different way. And so we're going to move our animals there. That decision is very fast, that's very quick, and you're able to take action very quickly. if an area hasn't been designated, if it hasn't been identified as a grazing allotment on federal land, the agencies have been really reluctant for a long time to use grazing as a management tool. So with this administration, we continue to build on this notion that grazing is not only a use, right, because it feeds into a commodity, but it's also this management tool that can be deployed in a lot of different additional places. Congress is working on a number of bills that would direct targeted grazing in these other spaces. You know, typically we think about reducing fire risk by cutting tall trees. We also are looking for some additional authorizations for getting some of the smaller fuels out through grazing, preventing that woody encroachment that we see so often in the Midwest through those targeted grazing principles. We got a lot of really good traction during the last Congress in the House. We've seen the House pass targeted grazing legislation, especially related to fire. We're looking forward to continuing that momentum in the Senate this year as well.
So the other piece of the puzzle here is the Endangered Species Act has really become a big barrier to sound management of land and wildlife resources. Are we making any headway with Congress or this administration in terms of maybe getting a little more common sense in those rules?
Michelle, I am so happy to finally, in my long career in Washington, I'm finally able to answer that question with a yes. I've been working, you know, on this policy for a long time, and I think what we see now is this perfect storm, this momentum that I'm talking about, where you have a really strong bill in the House, the Endangered Species Act Amendments Act of 2025, that's the product of about 10 years of work to get to these very targeted, very specific, very efficient improvements in how the law works. At the same time, you also have an administration who recognizes that more regulation doesn't produce better outcomes, that you need to have very clear, specific language to be able to say this animal, this plant, this species requires additional attention. Here's the plan for how we get them attention. Here's our metrics. We've met those metrics, and then we get them off the list and move on. More words isn't always better. And so the combination of the regulatory changes that I expect we'll see with the great momentum in the House, a Senate majority who has always been supportive but hasn't had the numbers to pass a bill, I am more optimistic than I have ever been that we are going to see big changes coming to the way endangered species recovery efforts work. And if the law works better, it's fewer burdens, it's less regulatory red tape, and it's better outcomes for landowners, for users, and ultimately for the species themselves.
Yeah, this is good news because this has been such a burden on livestock producers, especially when Fish and Wildlife Service introduces these experimental populations as part of ESA, right?
No, that's exactly right. You know, earlier this month, we had two ranchers, one representing NCBA, one representing PLC, tell the House Natural Resources Oversight and Investigations Committee that not only has the government reintroduced these animals, in these cases, large predators, Mexican gray wolves, and grizzly bears, in these producers' backyard against their, you know, their better judgment, the producer's better judgment. Not only have they been introduced, but the tools that they can use to protect themselves and their livestock, and the ability to seek compensation when things go badly, has really been non-existent. The 10J part of the law that allows for this experimental introduction is really the Fish and Wildlife Service gambling with people's property, with their lives, with their whole way of making a living and often their safety for something that they don't know whether it's going to succeed or not. Right. And that's a threshold that we're not comfortable with because it doesn't work and it hasn't worked for such a long time.
Right. Let's finally talk just a bit. DOGE cuts, everybody feels like they're being impacted by this. I know there's been some cuts at USDA. How is it impacting either conservation, grazing, or natural resource programs, or any of the agencies that you're working with on public lands grazing?
You know, Michelle, there has been a discussion in Washington for a very long time that we need to make regulations simpler, more streamlined, more targeted. And so when we're looking at the regulatory piece of this, you know, PLC and NCBA are very supportive of a much clearer regulatory regime on the back end. You know, when we look at the federal land space, there's been a lot of uncertainty about staffing, you know, retirements, some of the resignations, some of the other programs. I expect there's going to continue to be some of that uncertainty as the courts figure out what this final number, this final approach is going to be. Our message to the administration is look, streamlining makes a lot of sense. Make sure you're cutting from the top, not the bottom. The rangeland conservationists, the people who are helping farmers and ranchers maintain compliance with federal regulations, those are the people who are absolutely critical to our producers. They are the partners on the ground that can make on the ground management work. And that's been our message across the board.
So targeted cuts.
Yeah, targeted cuts and looking at where efficiencies can be made, because we know that there's an opportunity here.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Caitlin Glover, Executive Director of the Public Lands Council and with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. When we come back, we'll talk with Scott Vanderwall of Farm Bureau. That's next.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Looking to get doctor-prescribed medication like Ozempic or Wegovy? Zelty can help you get GLP-1 medications affordably, whether you have insurance and even if you don't. And 100% online. It's simple. Just text ACCEPT to 200-300 to get started. Zelty can help you get Ozempic, Wegovy, or Zepbound covered by your insurance company, so you pay as little as $0 for the medication if prescribed. No insurance? No problem. Zelty can ship semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and Zepbound, for as little as $151 a month versus $1,000 plus for name brand medications. Either way, it's high quality medical care, weight loss coaching, and access to game changing medications. All 100% online with Zelty and affordable with or without insurance. So don't wait. Text ACCEPT to 200-300 to get started today on your weight loss journey with Zelty. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text ACCEPT to 200-300. That's ACCEPT to 200-300. Text ACCEPT to 200-300.
Always on A Farmer's Mind, here to talk to us today about how FBN Finance is helping farmers secure land financing is Dan English, General Manager at FBN Financial. Dan, share how FBN Finance can help in today's economy.
Many of our loan advisors are actually farmers themselves, so we know what it takes to get through not just the tough times, but to thrive. Our team has decades of experience with FBN Finance. You can feel confident that not only can you get an experienced ag lending team, but also great rates, an easy digital experience, and instant approvals.
Okay, help us figure this out. What guidance would you share with farmers looking for financing their farmland right now?
I would recommend farmers be as proactive as possible so you can feel prepared and find the right financing you need for your operation. That's always easier to do sooner rather than later. We offer a free cash flow template to help individuals understand their current situation and help them plan for next steps. And our team is here to partner with you, provide you a personalized solution for your operation. For example, many farmers this year may need some additional cash to get through the year, and our team can discuss what might be the best option, whether it's a five-year land-backed revolving line of credit, a cash-out refinance, operating line, or some additional input financing.
Okay, are there some other benefits or products that we haven't touched on yet?
I know we've talked mainly about land loans, but we also offer operating loans, input financing, and equipment. We also provide a lot of free resources for farmers, like our AcreVision tool, which allows farmers to evaluate land, and financial educational guides. And finally, as a special offer for AgriTalk listeners, we're offering $500 off their closing costs for land loans over $250,000. Fill out a form at fbn.com/AgriTalk or call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND. That's L-E-N-D. To speak with a loan advisor and just mention AgriTalk.
Thank you so much. That is Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Experience the power of Enfinity this spring. Loveland Products' newest nitrogen management innovation is available now, with three modes of action to boost naturally occurring nitrogen in the root zone and support your crops through the season. Step into a world where nitrogen comes naturally. Take advantage of this product by visiting lovelandproducts.com/infinity or contacting your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Well, happy National Ag Day. I'm Michelle Rook in for Chip Flory today on AgriTalk. And joining me is Scott Vanderwall, Vice President with the American Farm Bureau Federation. Happy National Ag Day to you, Scott.
And same to you, Michelle. Glad to be on with you.
Yeah, important day. We always say every day is Ag Day for all of us in the industry. But one of the things that was new as far as news this morning, the $10 billion of economic assistance, it looks like is starting to be rolled out. More details are coming in here in terms of that assistance. What do you know this morning? I know you've been in conversation with Senator Round's office out of South Dakota.
Yeah, I had a message from the Ag LA with Senator Round's office, and he said the details will be coming out today and that there may be pre-filled forms available if you had your acreage from 2024 at the FSA office and should be able to just review it, make sure it's right, and sign it, and get it back in and get the process rolling. So that's good news. That's hopefully going to be a very efficient process. And Secretary Rollins told us a couple of weeks ago that same thing, that they're going to really be working hard to get this out because they understand how important it is to get this assistance out to people as we're starting planting season.
Yeah, no doubt. How important will it be in the whole scheme of things, though, in terms of farm income?
Well, agriculture is really hurting now after the last year or so, and we're looking at negative margins on corn and beans, probably wheat as well, and it's not a good situation, and we're not seeing our markets come up at all with the rumors of tariffs and retaliatory tariffs and all these things that are going on. So I've heard stories that some people are being turned down for operating loans, and that's a big concern after we've lost a lot of farms in the last 5 years already. So it is crucial.
The other big discussion right now is obviously these DOGE cuts. We've gotten the $20 million in the Inflation Reduction Act for things like EQIP and CSP, but we see DOGE cuts hitting, I think, 100 USDA offices with leases terminated over like 40 states. How concerned are you about the agencies that will be impacted, whether it's FSA, RMA, Ag Marketing Service, whatnot?
Well, certainly there are places that cuts can be made. We suggested to USDA that maybe just making a blanket cut of the people that have been there less than 2 years or people that have been promoted less than 2 years ago maybe wasn't the way to go about it, because those are the new people that are excited about their jobs or the rising stars that are going to be the leaders here coming up. Everybody knows in middle management who the people are that are kind of retired in place, and in a case like that, maybe it would have been better to send letters to the supervisors and saying you need to cut so many dollars, and you tell us who that would be. But Secretary Rollins was very she's very determined to carry this out in an efficient way, and obviously this process was started before she was even sworn in, so she got it handed to her. And I think there's some things that they're looking at in terms of efficiency, and hopefully be able to do it a little more friendly manner.
Yeah, and I know most farmers are supportive of more efficiency in government, but is there any concern about loss of people in critical agencies that might impact meat inspections, maybe USDA reports or crop insurance or anything?
Well, there certainly is that concern, and we've voiced those concerns to Secretary Rollins personally. We had the opportunity to meet with her a couple weeks ago with our American Farm Bureau Board of Directors, and I think she's going to be great. She understands what this is about. She does understand that we've got federal inspections and all the things that the food system relies on and our producers rely on coming out of USDA. And hopefully she'll be allowed to make those things right and make sure that things get streamlined.
Right. So let's talk about another agency, EPA. They just recently announced a huge rollback on many regulations, especially WOTUS, which I know you guys have watched and championed for some changes, common sense changes, for a long time. How happy are you guys about the direction or the trajectory that you're seeing in that vein?
Well, we're very pleased with the angle they're taking on it now and the direction. With the U.S. Supreme Court case that was wrapped up a year ago, that was a good step in the right direction. And now they're looking at making it more permanent, I believe. And farmers and ranchers are tired of regulatory whiplash, as we call it, where we've got one presidential administration and they do one thing, and then the next president comes in and does something else, and it's just really hard to keep up with. So we need something that's common sense, first of all, and then something that's more permanent so that we can rely on knowing what the rules are.
Yeah, and these recent developments on WOTUS with EPA releasing guidance for implementing that continuous surface connection definition under WOTUS was also pretty important, wasn't it?
It certainly was, and that was the background of that whole Supreme Court case. Is the previous administration had such an almost ridiculous a way of connecting actual navigable waters to what they were calling wetlands and waters of the United States. It had to do with places like Western South Dakota, where they were identifying small indentations between hills as waters of the U.S. because in a heavy rainstorm, it might have some water running through it. And it's ridiculous. And hopefully we'll get that taken care of and have a common sense regulation.
You bet. All right. So ag labor, is that still your number one issue in agriculture? And what is your take on the effort for mass deportation and immigration reform?
Well, certainly we are concerned that people are here legally. We support legal immigration just like the Trump administration does, but people need to do it right. We have voiced our concern with the administration that ag workers are so important. And obviously, American farmers and ranchers want to hire people that are legal, but understand that doesn't always work quite that way. And if they get cleaned out and we disrupt our distribution service, that's not a good thing.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Scott VanderWaal, American Farm Bureau Federation Vice President. Thanks so much for joining us here on AgriTalk on National Ag Day. Davis, do you have any updates for us on weather or anything else that you'd like to share?
You know, the sun is out and the wind kind of started blowing.
Okay.
That's my update, at least here at the
All right.
top of the 11 o'clock hour.
Okay. Wanted to give you your shot. Well, this afternoon, Brian Split of AgMarket.net will be a guest hosting AgriTalk PM. And tomorrow morning, we will have the Farmer Forum, and I think Davis is going to lead that off. So
indeed.
I will be back on Thursday for AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook. Thanks for joining us.
Is your nitrogen program out of tune? Get Nutrio in Tune by Wilbur Ellis. It's the breakthrough biotechnology that harnesses beneficial and fixing bacteria to maintain a consistent nitrogen supply throughout the growing season. Compatible with all fertilizers and tank partners, it's the flexible, easy-to-use solution for pre- and post-sprays. Don't miss a beat. Visit stayntune.com or your local Wilbur Ellis location to learn more about Nutrio Entune.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
This Entertainment Insider is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Survivor is celebrating its 25th anniversary, and host Jeff Probst has been there from the beginning. He still can't believe his luck.
That I ended up on a show where I get to play in the world of psychology while being a storyteller. I still can't believe I ended up on the one show that has all of the things I'm into.
A riddle brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? Progressive protects them both. It was an easy riddle. Learn more at progressive.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. The Justice Department continues stonewalling a federal judge demanding to know more about deportations under the president's invocation of the 1798 AIR.